Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The continuing discussion of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Prakrita Rasa Shata Dushani, 100 refutations of the so-called material relishing of the mellows of love, the unique contribution of the Gaurīya Vaiṣṇava Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahāprabhu is love, real love, which means spiritual love. If we say spiritual love, many people may think that, yeah, well, having sex with my girlfriend is spiritual love. It feels very spiritual to me. But therefore, we have to understand what is this, the distinction between spirit and matter. And as we find at the beginning of Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam, and by extension those who speak on Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam is meant to distinguish reality from illusion for the welfare of all. Illusion in this material world is that we can be happy here by enjoying ourselves, enjoying our senses. So any genuine transcendentalist cannot be a sense enjoyer, as we find in the teachings of Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot love God and love mammon. I don't think the word Tattvavit Prabhu, your English language expert, I don't think that word mammon is used in any other context. It's an archaic word. You can research it, yeah. But mammon means material enjoyment, or flesh, or whatever. I don't know exactly. You can tell us all about it after looking it up. But the same idea is there, that you cannot be a sense enjoyer and love God. And as I found out by reading a book by Satsarup Maharaj, Saint Teresa of Avila, who was a great mystic in the Roman Catholic tradition, in the esoteric tradition of love for Christ, the becoming the bride of Christ. Actually, all the nuns, they all have the ring to show that they're married. They're all married to Jesus. That's the idea. So, he was writing a book as he was going through a book on her, and then he came to something which surprised him, that one time someone was surprised to see her eating venison, which you probably don't know what that means. It's also not a common word these days. It means the meat of a deer. And she reportedly said that there's a time for praying to God and there's a time for eating venison. Doesn't flow, doesn't work. Pure devotional service means always, everywhere, in all circumstances. Not that you have a holiday. Well, there can be some kind, but the holiday is Krishna conscious also. Just like your whole group from here went on a holiday to Europe, where the holiday was chanting Hare Krishna, getting up in the morning, not the same thing, but just in a different place, seeing different places. It won't work to say, I'm a vegetarian most of the time, except when I sit down to eat. It doesn't work. Most of the time I don't eat meat. So in the same way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Jariya Vishoy Bhog Bhakta Kabu Karena. A devotee, an actual devotee, does not engage in mundane sense gratification ever. Never, 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 never. Whew. Sounds really tough. Yeah. It is tough if we are accustomed to that. But then if we understand that love of God and being a materialist doesn't go together, you can't be both. You have to choose one or the other. Now, there is a term also, Sakama Bhakta, but that's another of those oxymoronic terms, as I was saying, just like Prakrita Rasa in itself is an oxymoronic term. A material, and Rasa is supposed to be emotion in love of God. Material emotion in love, no. It doesn't really work. So Sakama Bhakta means a devotee who, he's worshipping Krishna, but he's also cultivating material desires. And he may be doing so for the sake of fulfilling material desires. Worship Krishna and go to the heavenly planets. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udara dhihi. What's the next line? Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Shastra recommends that whether one is without desire, full of desire, or desirous of getting out of the world of desire, that's the only desire you have, moksha kama, it's also kama, desire for moksha, one should tivrena worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in bhakti yoga, following the rules and regulations. And the result of doing that will be that one will lose one's material desires or any other desire. So it's tricky. It's bridge breaching. But you can get material desires fulfilled. It's quite possible by serving Krishna, as there was Narasimha Brahmacharya. I'm not sure if he's passed away yet. I didn't see him for maybe more than 10 years. He was initiated by Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj of Chaitanya Mart. He was from Tamil Nadu. He was in the lived staying at the Gauriya Mart in Chennai. Royapeta, I think it is. Not that it matters for this course, for this sake of this discussion. And then he saw the Western devotees and he came and joined ISKCON. But he was a very good devotee. You can trust him. He would do all kinds of errands. Educated man, obviously. He spoke English very well, which wasn't so common in those days, even in South India. Very austere. Would do all kinds of menial service, and give him any amount of money, and he would be completely trustworthy. But he was quite open. He says, I don't want liberation. I want to go to the heavenly planets, and this is the best way to do it. Had full faith that by serving the devotees and Krishna, he could go to the heavenly planets. If he's left his body, he's probably gone there. Who knows? Maybe he had a realization toward the end of his life. He may still be in the same body, but he's very strongly fixed in the desire to go to the heavenly planets. So he had full faith in Shastra and fully applied himself to it. Tivrena, with great endeavor, great focus, great concentration, but he hadn't taken to heart these instructions of the, this is the instruction of all Shastra, the guidance for devotees. be aware, be aware, beware, beware of material sense enjoyment, because that will deflect us. So Sakam Bhaktas are there, the demigods, they're Sakam Bhaktas. And we hear about them partaking in Krishna's pastimes. They regularly do a lot of service, showering flowers during the Rasa Leela, direct service in Krishna's pastimes. And apart from that, they are serving Krishna in a secondary way by overseeing the administrative demigods. Not all demigods are in an administrative role. But those who are serving the Supreme Lord by helping in the administration of the universe. Not that Krishna needs any help, but for that matter, he doesn't need anything, but he accepts service in various ways. But we find the demigods regularly get into a lot of trouble because they're worshipping Krishna not out of genuine love, or not out of the kind of love that a fully surrendered devotee has. We can't say it's totally devoid of any affection. Just like if we go to the Tirupati or Tirumalai, there's so many people are going and in the line, long lines for darshan of the deity. They'll be calling out, Govinda, Govinda, Govinda. It's not, that they're without affection, but everyone is going for improve my business, pass my exams. What did you used to go for? Same thing. Pass exam. I never asked if you went before you joined this movement. It just presumed you're from a smart Brahmin family from Chennai, and of course you go to Tirupati. But you don't pray for love of God, take away all my material attachments. You don't pray, not at all. The smartest, they're very pious, but they're very materially attached. And that's their tradition for centuries. So, to become a bhakta means no more material enjoyment, or at least one has to cultivate that sense. That's called anyabhila shita shunyam jnana kamadhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktirutama. This bhaktirutama here is described, topmost devotion, as a cultivation of Krishna consciousness without any extraneous desire for personal enjoyment or for liberation from this world. That's the beginning of Uttama Bhakti. Then when one becomes fully Krishna conscious, then, we say the topmost, Uttama Bhakti means the topmost bhakti, but there are levels within that. You say topmost, and there's topmost and more topmost, which doesn't sound logical, but well, just like there's a consideration by people all over the world. America is the best country in the world. That's the general consideration. We find that in embassies of the United States, in many countries all over the world, people are queuing up to apply for a visa for the United States, and most of them get refused. We don't find people queuing up at the Guatemalan embassy. They probably don't even have an embassy in most places. Or let's say Mexican embassy. Maybe they want to go to Mexico so they can nick over the border, but to America. But journalists consider that America is the best. America is the best country. Let's just take that as a proposition, as a premise. But within America, California is the best. At least, no. Well, that's just because you're not from... Well, it's generally considered... You're from New York, right? Well, it's a very dangerous thing to say this. If It would be more dangerous to say this in New York than to say in Atlanta. But anyway, there's a consideration that if you're going to go to America, better you go to California than Mississippi, for instance. I didn't say Georgia. So there are levels of topmost devotion. There are levels. So the desire to be on that topmost level means once you're already on the way. But if one is cultivating extraneous desires, then we're not really on the way at all. Or it may take a very long time. We are what we want to be. Really? Really? I know. I want to have a bigger, stronger, healthier body. Yeah, okay, you can get it. You just have to wait till the next life, that's all. if we do enough pious activities. So we get what we want and what we deserve. It's a mixture. That's how karma works. I want to be a great leader in human society. There's so many people going for votes. In that way, they try to be a leader, or they try to be in sports, they try to be number one, or in business, they try to get ahead and be number one. There are so many hopefuls for leadership, so many elections, but not everyone can win the election. There are so many runners in the race. The race is not to the swift, may not necessarily be the fastest runner who wins the race. But don't worry, you can get in the next life. There's always another life. So maybe if you didn't get an Olympic medal this time, next time you will. If by the time you get back to the human form of life, Olympic Games are still going on. But the desire will be fulfilled, but not necessarily in the way that we think, because it depends on our karma, our piety or impiety. So someone may want to be a leader, and in the next life they can be if anyone knows about keeping chickens, there's a pecking order. There's number one chicken, number two chicken, number three. It's an order. So you can be number one chicken. You became a leader, respected by others. It works like that. So one has to be careful of desire. Desire is very powerful. We are what we desire to be. So the whole discussion of Krishna consciousness is informing us and guiding us to purify our desire. The impersonalists say that we should get free from desire, but that's impossible. How are you going to get free from? You can only try to become free from desire if you have the desire to be free from desire. If you don't desire to be free from desire, then there's no way you're going to be. You can even think of becoming free from desire. But if we desire to be free from desire, that in itself is a desire. It's impossible. And anyway, the nature of the living being is to desire. We just can't, because we are conscious living beings by nature, irreducible. Nature is that we are conscious, and with consciousness comes not just awareness, but desire. So it's not a matter of stopping desire, but of purifying desire. Desire keeps us within material existence, which is suffering. Buddha analyzed. It's not only Buddha, before him so many were saying. But then his idea is to stop desire. But the Vaishnava understanding is you can't stop desire. We should purify it. And purify means that we serve Krishna. Instead of desiring to serve our senses, we serve Krishna. So the next line we have in the seventh verse, Jara Bhog Krishna Seva Kabu Shama Hoina. The desire to serve Krishna and the desire to enjoy our senses in this material world, they should never be considered the same. It's a great mistake of the impersonalists who think that serving Krishna, that's also a kind of material activity. They think that. Because they think any activity is material. Now, an important point to consider. Oh, well, that comes up in the next verse. Nija bhogya kame bhakta prem kabhu bolena. That if one is indulging in one's own material desires, that cannot be prema. That cannot be love of Krishna. An actual devotee doesn't say that. The two should be distinguished. Kama, desire for personal enjoyment, and prema, the desire to serve Krishna. This essential understanding. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, Krishnendriya priti icha dhare prema nam. This essential difference has to be understood. The desire to satisfy one's own senses is called material desire. And the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses is called prema, or pure love of Krishna. And if we don't have a proper understanding and proper appreciation and realization of this point, then we come to the very dangerous position which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is addressing in this whole Prakriti Rasa Shatadushani. We come to the very dangerous position of performing the activities of Krishna's service, but with a desire to enjoy that, and feeling enjoyment, and thinking that we have prema. Just like in kirtan, we're feeling so good in kirtan. It was a really good kirtan. I really felt good. But the whole idea is not that we shall feel good, but that we shall serve Krishna, pleasing Him by singing and dancing and playing musical instruments. So this has to be understood. Otherwise, we'll take kirtan and all items of Krishna's service as something for our own enjoyment. And I can again relate to my experiences in Bengal, especially in the 1980s, moving among people, devotees, who are fully absorbed in this misunderstanding, which is, this is, after all, this poem is written in Bengali, and it's addressed to Bengali devotees, and that fabulous kirtan, I mean, to play mridanga like that, and to have the whole, that it takes years of practice to be able to play mridanga so expertly. Years of training. So very expert and very much into the kirtan. They like to do it. In so many villages, before there was electricity in every village, in many villages, Vaishnav villages, the people would, after dark, what do? You come together and chant Hare Krishna. That became much reduced with the arrival of electricity in every home, and with it, TVs and all other kinds of things. But the natural feeling and taste for chanting the holy names, but at the same time, it was a major obstacle when I was first in Bangladesh and attempting to preach the message of Krishna consciousness. The problem wasn't to get people to chant Hare Krishna, which is what we try and do all over the world, but to get them to, of course, there are people who are chanting all other kinds of things also, Jai Guru, Jai Jagat Bandhu, Maha Udharan, and all kinds of things they're chanting. But to get them, well, a major problem is the fish eating, people are very much attached to. There's also one upper sampradaya, quite prominent in throughout Bengal, and especially in some areas, where they do chant Hare Krishna. They very much emphasize the chanting of Hare Krishna. But their understanding is impersonal. That you chant Hare Krishna and then you become absorbed in whatever. There is also an upper sampradaya in Bogra, who their slogan was Shankare Mat Gauranger Pat. We do the mat, the teachings and the ideas of Shankaracharya, impersonalism, and the path given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they chant Hare Krishna, they do everything just like Vaishnavas, but their idea is impersonal absorption. But that wasn't the main problem. The main problem is fish eating and overall sahaja mentality of thinking that you can just... Kirtan is something that we enjoy, and it's also something you do when there's not enough rain, and it's for material prosperity. They'd organize kirtans with the idea of material prosperity. I'm also not super enthused when I see that devotees are organizing a 12-hour kirtan or 24-hour kirtan for world peace or something like this. What is that world peace? If you chant Hare Krishna for love of God, that's what world peace. People want peace so they can go on with their nefarious activities. So they were at this stage of abhideya, of practice, but they hadn't got the sambandha, the proper understanding, right in the first place. The idea that we shall chant and then Krishna will bless us with everything we want, and also this prem, we find in Bengal, especially among the Vaishnavas, it's a very sweet language. It's a very sweet culture. There's a word in Bengali, balobasha, which means love, affection, and it's used very freely. In the sense that, we don't have words just like for friendship. You don't say I like him. You love them. That's all. In English we have the word I like and I love. But in Bengali there's only... You can say I like bhalo shita bhalo lagi. But you about a person, yeah. You about a person, you only say I love. Yeah, he doesn't love me. You say, he doesn't love. So a very lot of emphasis on love, but clear understanding of what is prema. Then we have to come to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We have to come to Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that has to be properly understood also, because there are so many people in Bengal, especially at that time, who knew so many verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very easy to learn if you're Bengali, because it's in Bengali, and it's in rhyme, which helps to memorize it. And many times I'd find it's just like in South India, it used to be, that you just people walk up to you on the street and discuss with you, and they'd pull out some Gita shloka or some saying from Upanishads, and you're supposed to know what they say, what they're talking about, because you're a sadhu and you're supposed to know all these things. So in Bengal it's very common, people would just they'd quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and it was well known among people, and So they knew in many ways. One time I was staying in a house of one Vaishnava, and for some reason everyone was out that evening, so he asked me to read Chaitanya Charitamrita to him. And just by, that would be by the kerosene lamp after dark. And he couldn't read anymore because his eyes were all old and his eyes were, what is that, overgrown, and where the eyebrow was coming down and the eye was almost blind. And he had an edition, which obviously he'd read it many, many times, but he asked me to read to him. And as I was reading, he would chant along with me. Because he'd been through it so many times. But the basic... So there's so much into bhakti, but the basic understanding that we're doing this all for Krishna is not there, or what that means. They'll talk about Krishna Seva. We're doing this for service. But what it actually means, that to give up material desire, to be free of personal desire. And also, ahaituki apratihata, without personal desire and always. Apratihata means without any obstruction. So that means also that it should be always. It's not that when we're serving Krishna, we're fully into it, but then when I'm conducting my family life, I'm also fully into that heart and soul. You should be fully into it as a sense of responsibility, but my heart is elsewhere. My heart is in serving Krishna. And I maintain my family for the sake of guiding them toward Krishna. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his Sharanagati, there are several songs in which he emphasizes this theme, that I do my family duties so that I can, seeing everyone as servants of Krishna and guiding them in that, not that just... just like it's quite common in India, we'll find women saying, "My Gopal," referring to their baby boy, as if she's Mother Yashoda, and this is actually Krishna. You had that experience, Ram? You're also from a Hindu family, but it's much away from the culture, right? Due to being separated for so many generations. So this essential point of nija bhogya kame bhakta prem kabu balena, that which is considered as something for my own enjoyment is never considered love or prema by an actual devotee. And it works the other... What I'm doing for my own enjoyment, that's not Krishna prema. And actually a pure devotee doesn't do anything for his own personal enjoyment. And then again, it works around the other way, that Krishna is not an object of our sense enjoyment. The name of Krishna is not an object of my sense enjoyment. Then, Roshe Daga Moga Acho Shishe Guru Balena. The guru doesn't flatter the disciple by saying, You are on the level of rasa. You are absorbed in rasa. You're already there. Roshe doga maga ami kabu guru balena. And the guru also doesn't say, "Well, actually, I'm a rasik bhakta. You should only take initiation from a devotee who's fully in love of God, who's heart is bleeding for Krishna at every moment." And then, who is that? Who is that? And you don't say, but it's insinuating that I'm there and others aren't there. We don't hear that Srila Prabhupada said that, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that. He said the one, yes, should be a topmost devotee, but but emphasizing topmost devotee in the sense of fully surrendered to Krishna, fully acting in service of Krishna, but not emphasizing or even maybe not even revealing what is their, what are their inner heart's feelings for Krishna, because it's a very private thing. Narottam Das says, apana bhajana kata nako hibo jata tata. How one is practicing and what is one is feeling in that. It's not a subject matter. Oh, today when I was trying my rounds, I was in the rasa dance. Whoops, it's there on YouTube. That may happen. There are narrations like that. Srinivas Acharya, he goes away in trance. They can't get him out of trance. And then Ramachandra Kaviraj comes and he goes into trance and finds out why Srinivas is profusely sweating and he finds out, and then he solves the problem in Krishna Leela, but they both come out. So there are things like that. Such things are there. But we see that particularly in the earlier stages of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, but definitely from the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur onwards, there's a lot of caution about not showing such things or not imitating such things, because there are many imitators. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he revealed a lot about his inner aspirations, but in his daily life he presented himself as a respectable person of this world, as did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as did our own Srila Prabhupada. So it may be that the guru is on the level of direct contact with Krishna, but he doesn't go around advertising it or insinuating it as a practice. Jarya Roshe Kota Shishe Guru Balena. Genuine guru never instructs his disciple on subjects of Jarya Rush and Prakrita Rush. It's the same thing of mundane enjoyment. In other words, the genuine guru doesn't instruct his disciples in matters of enjoyment of this material world. Nor does the genuine guru himself mistake one for the other. The genuine guru doesn't tell the disciple that or preach as a general principle, for instance, that your career is your devotional service. That you have so many material desires and you want to get ahead in your material life, so go ahead with it and it's your devotional service. It could be devotional service in the sense of something you do it and you dovetail it in Krishna's service. That can be called Arop Siddha Bhakti, but that should not be confused with Sarup Siddha Bhakti, that of the activities which directly lead to pure devotional service or are already on that platform. So that which we can dovetail in Krishna's service can be called devotional service because it's dovetailed in Krishna's service, but it's not intrinsically service to Krishna. Who brushed their teeth this morning? Everyone puts their hands up. Okay. Was that Krishna's service? For you it was, because you're doing it as part of your daily routine to maintain the body to be fit for Krishna's service. In this area of Atlantic City, those who have got up this morning, probably most people have got up by now, there's maybe 7 million other people who brushed their teeth also, just in this area. That's a lot of toothbrushes, right? Better to use organic toothbrushes like neem twigs. Anyway, that's another topic. A lot of plastic. But they weren't doing Krishna's service by brushing their teeth. So it's... And if someone who brushes their teeth in Krishna's service decides, well, actually, I don't want to serve Krishna anymore. And when they go outside, as sometimes unfortunately happens, then their brushing their teeth ceases to be Krishna's service, because it's not intrinsically Krishna's service. So to say that our career is our devotional service without clarifying, making it very clear how it can be Krishna's service in a secondary way, as it's in a secondary way, especially if we have a desire to so-called prosper in our material life, and we're also chanting Hare Krishna, then in a tertiary way it can be considered Krishna's service. Or we give some of the results, some of the money that's earned in Krishna's service, or we speak to people in our workplace, which is often not very possible, about Krishna consciousness, or give them books. So in a way we can dovetail the activity in Krishna's service, but without making it very clear that to actually be situated in pure devotional service, one has to be free of desires for prospering in material life by one's career or by whatever means. And therefore, okay, it's understood we have such desires and we chant Hare Krishna, but we have to transcend that desire. Unless we make that very clear, then we're promoting something which is not pure devotional service as if it's the same as actual pure devotional service. And the whole path of pure devotional service becomes muddied, becomes obfuscated. And people think, yeah, well, someone is out there distributing books every day and I'm in my office working in a job for some company and it's all the same. But it's not all the same. It possibly could be all the same. You're out there distributing books doesn't mean you're on the same level of Bhakti Vinod Thakur sitting in his court giving judgments. He's on a higher platform than you. But it doesn't mean that everyone who's doing some secular job and chanting Hare Krishna is on the level of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was longing to retire from that. He took early retirement with great difficulty because his employers, they didn't want him to, because he was doing his job very well. They wanted to retire from that so that he could live in Navarid Dham and fully absorb himself in activities of direct devotional service. Jarya Roshe Kata Shishi Guru Balena. The Guru doesn't speak to the disciple about matters of mundane mellows. In the next talk, Krishna willing, in this series, I'm going to talk in some detail about this kind of talk of mundane mellows, as is suitable to the next verse. That the Jara Rasa Gan, the songs, love songs, more or less, songs No, not just love song, but songs about enjoyment of this material world. That's the subject of the first line of the next verse, and I intend to go into that in some more detail by citing some songs in which are full of feeling, but which are on the mundane platform. Krishna, love of Krishna is full of feeling, but it's not the same. So Krishna willing, I'll speak about that more in another session. I could take questions, but the thing is, there'll be more on this, and probably many of the, if you ask questions, you'll bring up points that will be covered in the course of this series of talks. So leave it for now. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas cha kripa sindhurvyavcha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya trinakang padayane pate kridvacha ka kushatameta. Gauranga chandra charne kurutana raga parivada tujana.